So I guess I'm the true rookie. It's my first time there in Romania. Of course, it was Todd's first time too. But I guess I'll go first. It is my first mission trip outside of Kalamazoo and the Douglas Community Center, which honestly, you can do a lot of things that are really missions oriented right here in your own community. So that's just a little pitch for the Wednesday distribution at the Douglas Community Center. Come join us if you have Wednesday afternoons open. Anyway, I thought it might be helpful just to give kind of an outline of the trip and what it was about, since I'm the first to speak. We left Michigan on a Thursday morning, and we arrived in Romania on their Friday morning, or Friday, I guess it was morning, but by the time we got to the hotel, it was 6 p.m., so we're pretty exhausted. It's 7 hours, they're 7 hours ahead of us here, so we did our best after dinner to stay up until about 10 o'clock at night so that we could try and adjust to the time zone. Our base camp was the Hotel Solarino, which I think you saw a picture of there. It was in the city of Targoviste. That's my best. That's the best I can do. It has a population of about 88,000 people. It's a little over an hour northwest of Bucharest, and Bucharest is the capital of Romania, which is somewhat centrally located in the country. Unlike many mission trips I've heard about, we were not exactly roughing it. At the hotel, we enjoyed air conditioning, except for the first two nights when ours was broken. But fresh breakfast foods and eggs and espresso and lovely dinners with really good desserts. For those who don't know, though, this is a medical mission trip. However, of the four of us, only Jamie is actually a medical person. So that's kind of interesting. The posters placed in the village in advance offered the medical clinic at no charge for anyone that was in need. But the most important goal of the trip was to share the gospel with the people of Romania. And I'm going to let John and Todd talk more about that aspect because they were firsthand actually sharing the gospel. On Saturday, we met John and Ani, which were a couple of the Romanian people that you saw there, and they're kind of the masterminds of the mission trip. And we met the other Christian Romanians that we'd be working with during the week and their families. And we met them in a nearby town of Puchasa, and they welcomed us with very open arms into their church facility. We all went out into the town in the market area, and we distributed Christian flyers, and we also distributed invitations to the clinic, which was to be held in Puchasa on Thursday. And then we all got together in the evening and had a lovely dinner and sang some Christian songs, which is very interesting when they start playing a Christian song on the accordion and singing it in Romanian. It takes a while to realize what song they're singing. Even though you know the melody, naming that tune was not so easy, I guess. But we managed to sing along. So Sunday, then, we split up and went to two different churches. And you saw a picture there and on Facebook, if you're a Facebook follower, of Todd preaching at one of the churches. John and I went to the other church, and John gave a devotional, which was lovely. And several people sang and spoke from both the English group and the Romanians at their church. Every day we had breakfast at 7 a.m., and we boarded the bus at 8 or 8:15 Romanian time, as Todd pointed out. And we arrived at the villages to set up our medical clinic, which opened at 9 o'clock. And every day there was a line of people waiting to register and get into the medical clinic for services. After they were registered, they were assessed by the nursing staff, and then they were shepherded to an evangelism group. And Todd led one, John led one, and there were a couple other evangelism leaders. This gave us the opportunity to share the gospel with people, but it also sort of paced the flow of people because those groups would finish at different times and then they would go on to the different services that were available. And that included receiving reading glasses, conferring with the doctor, dental services, mostly pulling teeth, and receiving medications. As the day progressed, we managed to take a break and eat a sandwich sometimes, and there were a couple slow days we managed to walk around the villages and learn a bit about the area, except for the dental crew that pretty much never left their station. They worked really hard. In fact, the registration for services stopped at 4, but the dental group typically worked until 5, 5:30, I think one night even 6 o'clock, because once people were registered, we did not turn them away. So after that, we loaded the bus, we'd go back to the hotel, have a quick shower, have our dinner, and then sort and package pills, which you saw some pictures of, and prepare for the next day, journaling, reading our Bibles, doing some devotionals, that sort of thing. So, as I said, Jamie was the only medical person, and she served as a registered nurse, assessing the villagers. John and Todd, you know what they did, so what did I do? Well, the first couple days, I got to play with the children, and you saw a couple of those pictures. We were working with the children of the translators and the Romanian Christians that were with us, and also some of the villagers brought their children and left them with us. When we were in the more gypsy villages, they were comfortable leaving their children with us, and when we were not, they typically wanted to keep their children with them, even when they were waiting for services or waiting to get a tooth pulled. They had their children with them, so we'd try and kind of entertain the children as best we could while they were with their parents. But then we didn't have many children, so I helped give out reading glasses. And that was pretty interesting. We did have a translator, and the one picture you saw with me with a very tall young man who happens to be only about 14 years old, he's like 6'4", he was a translator for a few days with the glasses, and they helped. But it was really interesting how quickly, you know, you give them a pair of glasses and they would look at something to read at the Bibles, the Romanian Bibles that we had for them to read, and you could tell pretty easily when they did this that those glasses were not right for them. So it was really pretty easy, but not a lot of translation required. So overall, we served about 800 people. It would have been more, but one day the Orthodox priest showed up and he hung around for over an hour, and no one would really come in while he was there. There was an interesting conversation between him and John, the leader of the group in Romania. I don't know what they said. They were speaking in Romanian, but they had a long conversation about Christianity. So another day it poured rain, and there was rain flowing down the street, so people didn't come that day either. But as the week ended, we got together again and had fellowship with our Romanian counterparts, shared pizza, songs, and laughter. And as we mentioned, this is my first trip to Romania and actually my first out-of-town mission trip. I learned a lot. Even though we had nice digs, mission trip work is exhausting. It was a long day. We were tired. Especially when you're in another time zone and there's another language involved, and it, you know, takes a lot of your concentration. But the reward of the smiles and the thank yous and the feeling like maybe you made a difference in someone's life, that was pretty cool. So when you add that maybe between the evangelism and the love that we gave through reading glasses and playing with children or whatever we were doing, I think that's pretty priceless. Thank you.
So this year we didn't serve as many gypsy villages as we did last year, so there wasn't the amount of children that we had last year. We went to one gypsy village, and I mean, for me as a nurse, I wasn't assessing a mom and four children, that kind of thing, like I did last year. But still, between the three nurses, we had a Romanian nurse, and then we had another nurse that was retired from Battle Creek, and then myself. Each of us served probably 90 people a day if we were doing like 180, you know, people. So it was busy. You're just snapping off these assessments really quickly. This year I actually got to do real nursing that like I kind of missed since I've retired. And by that, I mean I got to do 4 dressing changes. I had a lady come in with a dog bite and I dressed that and put the appropriate stuff on it. And we have like a whole suitcase full of dressing supplies. One of our nurses that works with Rand, our dentist, she works at the health department in Battle Creek, so she's able to bring a lot of donated goods that they get from people, and you just can't believe the medical waste. And so I had all these kind of dressing supplies. Well, one day, I believe it was our second day, a man came, and he had walked, I found out, over 7 kilometers, which would probably be 4.5 miles from his home to our clinic. And he sat down before me after he went through evangelism, and he told me that he thought he had an infection of his foot. And I said, well, do you think you should see the doctor? And he said, no doctor. And I'm like, okay, well, I didn't really want to take his shoe off and look at his foot there in that setting, so I just assessed him. And I gathered all kinds of dressing supplies for him. And he did not come expectant at all. He did not know what he was going to get from us. I mean, that was humbling in itself, unlike I compared to Americans, you know, coming for something and you're giving free handouts and they're wanting everything. But I fixed him up with all these dressings, and I was able to explain to him through my Romanian interpreter how to use them and apply them to his foot. So he seemed to understand, like he'd done it before or something, but he didn't have the dressings. And he gladly took them, but he laid his hand out to me, symbolizing like how much. And I said, no, nothing, you know, to him. And so I talked him into going to the doctor, and he went on to the doctor. Well, at that point, they took his shoe off, and they looked at his foot. The man had had 2 toes removed from his foot. Apparently, we had found out later that he laid outside in the winter, and his foot had frozen. And he was also a drinker, that we found out from the Romanian nurse who had seen him sometime in a clinic near where she worked. And it seems like these towns are really spread out, but people seem to know each other or something. I don't know. And anyway, lo and behold, his foot was bad. And the Romanian doctor, as well as our American doctor that was with us, told him his leg needed to come off. And his leg was gangrenous. And the foot was as well. Quickly, the doctor summoned me, the American doctor, and she's like, Jamie, you got to come and do this dressing on this foot. And I'm like, okay. And I walked up the stairs, and the doctors were off in the stage area. And when I rounded the corner, I smelled the odor, and I knew it was bad. And so I graciously dressed his foot. I never turned up my nose, you know, like nurses are used to bad smells. I don't like roadkill, though. I mean, that smells pretty bad. And it was bad. And the doctor, you know, I was like, I was kind of mad at the American doctor because I felt like, can't you just humble yourself and stay in here and help with this? This is in America, you know. In America, nurse, we don't know what to do with this. Come over here and take care of this. Doctors don't want to do that, you know. But I thought, we're in a different country. Maybe she would, you know, humble herself and do it with me. And granted, a lot of doctors don't know what to do and how to dress something or what dressings to use or whatever. But I took care of the man, and at that point, I asked him, you know, how far he had traveled to the clinic. He told me it was 7 kilometers total to get home. So like 3.5 miles, and I'm like, oh, I've got to find somebody to get this man home. I'm going to talk to Florine, who was one of our pastors at the church where you saw Todd preaching. And I told him the situation, and I said, we cannot let this man walk home. And I was like practically in tears, and it was just awful. What are we going to do? And Florine says, you know, we'll take him home. And the man visited the pharmacy table, and I don't believe he got any antibiotics because the doctors told him that he needed to call the ambulance and go to the hospital. Well, we ended up taking him home, and we did not drive up the road that the man lived on. It was a very, it was a stone road with large, large pebbles. And in Romania, you know, their cars, like, aren't that great. So the man had to walk from the base of the hill back up to his home. And that weighed on me so hugely. Also, the pastor from Romania, Florine, his wife came out and gave this man some money. And if he went to the hospital in Romania, because he didn't retire from any job and had no pension. They don't have like Medicaid or anything like that. I was told he would just go to the hospital by ambulance. They would keep him overnight and discharge him, and he'd be back home the next day with nothing being done at all. And so I toiled with, I didn't find that out until later that evening, but I consulted with all of my team members and Dr. Rand and also Larry Messer, the pastor from Battle Creek, because they've been on many missions, because my heart was just hurting badly for this man. And I'm like, somebody needs to give him mercy and take his leg off. And when I found out he was all alone and had no family, no wife, no children, you know, I thought, taking the leg off, how much worse would that be for his situation? You know, and they don't have aftercare and rehab and that kind of stuff for him. And so I talked to the American team members, and I'm like, you know, we got to do something. Like, it can't be that much money in Romania to have your leg taken off, because the American dollar is worth four times more there than it is here. And the Romanian nurse told me that basically it would be like no charge to have his leg taken off in Romania, but the aftercare would be, you know, like expensive, whatever he needed. So the Romanian nurse ended up talking to the doctors at the hospital and then got a hold of this man's sister. And the man's sister would have to commit to taking care of him after he got discharged from the hospital, and before they would do anything for him. So I said, just let us know. Our pastor Larry from Battle Creek, he stayed behind for a week, and the nurse, Romanian nurse, was going to be in touch if our team could do anything monetarily for this man. One of the things that really bothered me on this trip was the judgment of this man that he was an alcoholic. I not only heard it from the Romanian doctor, I heard it from the American doctor, as well as the Romanian nurse, and that seemed to be the focus. He's an alcoholic. He's a drinker. The American doctor says he's done this to himself. He's pushed his family away. You know, he's probably beat on his wife, and he has no one to love him for any reason. But I'm like, that doesn't matter. And I know myself how many times in America that I have said that about patients that we've tried to educate and teach and all that kind of stuff. But somehow, when I'm in a different country and I'm on this mission trip, I'm doing the work of God. And I'm like, I felt like I needed to do more. And the judgment of his alcoholism was not first and foremost in my mind. I didn't care about that. I didn't know this man. I don't know what he did, you know, but I wanted to help him somehow. After praying about it for 2 weeks, I kind of got resolved, and I'm like, well, if it's in the cards for us to do something for him, we will. But everyone pointed out to me, Jamie, you made the difference in that man's life. You shared God with him. You loved on him. You did not, you know, wince or anything when you changed his dressing. You know, you gave him the love that he came here for. And I felt like, how many times in the Bible have we read that people traveled for miles to find Jesus for healing? And that's what he was looking for. And like, what strength and will this man had. And with that, I just kind of wanted to share a verse with you. I opened my Bible, and it came to this yesterday. I just opened it up. And it says, a lamp on a stand. No one lights a lamp and hides in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has will be taken from him. And so that kind of, I showed him the light, and I had my lamp out to show him love of God. The other thing this on this mission trip, nursing-wise, that really struck me was a small baby that we saw that was 18 months old. She was the most beautiful little girl you would ever want to see, all dressed in pink and pink shoes and beautiful eyes that never seemed to close or blink or anything like that. The parents brought her to our clinic, hoping to find an answer from the American doctors on what they could do that might save this child. The little girl was 18 months, and she was born with trisomy 13. It's called Patau syndrome. And usually they do not even survive the first year, let alone 18 months. And they had been to a doctor somewhere else, like Germany or something. I don't remember where, but another foreign country. And they were given kind of the same answers. Like, you know, she's probably not going to make it beyond 3 years old. The child had no muscle tone, very limp. The parents carried her. What made this child thrive to this point is the mom continued to breastfeed her through this whole time. She was not eating food, nothing else. She was gaining weight. And these parents loved her so much. And we weren't able to give them any more hope than they had heard before. But that was very, very touching on this trip. One other thing there wasn't a picture of, but this year I took some Beanie Babies that were donated to me and handed them out to the children. First, the mission team, the Romanian mission people, their children, I wanted to give them to them first. And it was so cute, if you guys all remember back in the day when there was Beanie Babies, but they had a birth date on them. And each of those children were looking and searching for what month they were born in because they wanted that Beanie Baby. And that was really cute. And I think that's probably about it. Oh, I want to thank, I know Bobby's not here today, and Jeff, they both work at Perrigo, and we had a multitude of medical supplies because of them, and very, very thankful for that. And also thankful for the menstrual pads. I don't want to gross anybody out, but Diane graciously sewed over 50 or something like that, and she'd cut out 100. But in Romania, they don't have the luxury to just go to the store and get throwaway diapers and pads and all that kind of stuff. So they wash them out, and the women just love them. And the pharmacist hands a few out to each person that comes up, maybe for drugs or something like that, from them. And I reunited with somebody that I'd met last year on the mission trip that came to one of our clinics, so it was nice to see her again. And it kind of felt like being back home and seeing some friends you hadn't seen in a long time. And I worked with the same interpreter that I had last year, so we had a really good flow this year through the nursing assessment because the words are kind of hard, and I'm learning how to pronounce them, and it went really well. And I had a great week with Todd. I just want to thank him. I mean, I don't feel like I've ever known Todd quite on the level that I got to know him this week or that week in Romania, but I mean, Todd was absolutely a blast to be with, and every day was just refreshing for what he would say or make a joke about or whatever, but he was a blessing on the team this year, as well as John and Jan. So thank you.
Okay, real quickly. There's a lot that was covered last year that is similar to this year, of course. This year we had a tremendous unity on the team. Last year we had a really cool group, but this year we had, what did we have, Rand? We had like 22, I think, on the team. So we had a big team of people, pretty diverse team of people. And we had a lot of unity with the Romanians, too. So these two little tiny Romanian churches just have such a heart for God. Their pastors, their families, their children become part of the mission team, basically, as we travel around. The music you heard in the background was Pastor Nico playing his accordion with just such joy and passion. It's like, it's remarkable, but... a couple of things this year is, I think Jan mentioned, I had to give a testimony in the church in Pachassa. They asked me to do that last year too, and I got to tell you, you know, it's not really in my wheelhouse. But you know, one of the reasons is I don't have one of those dramatic stories. I didn't like go to prison and find God. You know, I don't have really a cool punchline, but I have a story. We all have a story. We have to be ready to tell that story. And it went very well. You know, I'm looking in 1 Peter, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. And if you focus on that piece of it, and also, I think, are honest and recognize that our journey or our story is a journey. It's a lifelong journey. It doesn't end until the day that God calls us home. So, and the other thing I would tell you is you look at some of the pictures and you think, oh, I don't know about going there. You know, that's a little scary. Or certainly the stories Todd has relayed about Haiti. It's like, wow, who would go there? Well, 1 Peter says, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. So, you know, I mean, God is really with us on these trips and protects us. And there's really nothing to fear about it. So this year, I was plugging along with my evangelism like I did last year, trying to give a message to each of the groups. You only have a few minutes to kind of talk to them about the gospel, and then it's slowed down by the fact that there's translation in between. But about halfway through, Pastor Larry on the bus said, I've been asking everybody 4 questions, and it seems to be pretty effective. He says, first of all, he asked the Romanians, did Jesus Christ live? And they all go, yeah, we believe Jesus Christ lived. I mean, they all believe in Jesus Christ, right? Did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Yeah, I think he did. Was Jesus Christ raised from the dead? Yeah, I think so. We do Easter, sure. But then the 4th question is, was Jesus Christ a liar? And they all kind of go, you know, whoa, wait a minute. No. We don't believe Jesus is a liar. Well, we don't believe that either, you know, the interpreter and I. And then we kind of get into the scripture of what Jesus said in John 3:16. And you know, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one shall come to the Father but through me. And you can just see the wheels turning. So I have a couple quick kind of stories about my experience. I had, when we got to Fieni, the small town where Foreen is the pastor in a church in Fieni where Todd preached, a small village, I saw this guy who was helping us set up, and my interpreter introduced me to him. He said, this is Leo. It's Leo. And I looked at him, I said, boy, you look familiar. He goes, I should look familiar. You evangelized me last year. Wow. And now he's going to their church. He takes his mother to the church. And Leo says to me, I used to have a very, very long tail. And I have cut it off. You know, I think he's referring to like a, you know, Satan's tail or something. But he's changed his life, you know. Just had this grin on his face and was racing around to help us out. According to Leo, changed his life, which to me, that was like awesome. The other thing this year, after Larry said that to me about those 4 questions, I kind of changed my presentation a little bit. And, you know, the Bible says to be bold. Last year, I wasn't nearly as bold. I would walk them through what a sinner's prayer looks like, but I would tell them, you have to go home and pray it, basically. This year, I would just point blank them. I'd say, are you saved? If you die tonight, will you be going to heaven? And most of them go, they don't know, because their church, the Orthodox Church, tells them to go to heaven, you need to be baptized in the church. You need to be a member in good standing in the church. You need to be buried in the church, you know. And you need to be a good person. You know, that's admirable, but it's not the gospel, right? So we tell them the gospel. So I would ask them that question point blank, and they would go like that. And then I'd say, do you want me to lead you through this prayer? Do you want to be saved right here and now? And many of them said yes, which is like unbelievable. I got to tell you about this one young lady. When we were in Pochasa, the very end of the day, very last group that came in, Nick Arjan, my interpreter from the year before, he sat down with me because my interpreter wasn't available at the moment. And we start going through the gospel. And he's reading John 3:16, and she is reciting it word for word with this big grin on her face. She's all excited, you know. She knows the words exactly. But that's John 3:16, right? Then we go to some other scripture, like in Romans chapter 10, about if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, then you will be saved. And it's the scriptures, two or three verses. She's reciting that word for word, just excitedly. And so then my interpreter and her start having this long discussion, and she's going, on and on and on. She's just got this glow in her eyes. And so finally he turns to me and goes, yeah, she's bragging about how many times she's read the Bible. Like, oh, that's cool, because I'm assuming this woman is saved, right, this young woman. So when we got to the point where I asked them, are you saved? She's like, oh, no. So then we had to backtrack, and we're going back through the covenants, the old covenant, the new covenant. We're going through all this stuff. And Nick is spending a ton of time speaking to her in Romanian, too. Long story short, they stood with me. We prayed, the three of them. They had to be at work at 4 o'clock, so they didn't even get medical services, but they got saved. And, you know, that's just such an electric moment. It's hard to even describe. One of the themes that came up over and over on this mission trip was it's not really our job to worry about whether they're hearing the message or whether the message stuck. It's God's job. This is the Holy Spirit's job. All we can do is just be faithful and bold and sprinkle those seeds, and God does the rest. And I'm telling you, this year there's incredible power in that. Rand, can you come up here for just a quick second? This is Dr. Rand. He's our dentist. This is the guy that would sit in the chair until 6 o'clock, you know, doing his thing. And that is by far the most popular service, because these people have serious dental issues and a lot of abscesses, right? Which has all sorts of other health implications. And so they're even though you're pulling four or six teeth out sometimes or more, whatever, that's stuff that they really, really need from a health standpoint. The message that we give them might be the only chance that they get to hear that. I know that Nico said, this is when we go to his small church in Pochasa, he's like, this gives us more opportunity to minister and preach the gospel to people who would not ever hear it than we have the rest of the year combined, right?
That's true.
Absolutely. So Rand, too, has a story.
Well, there's a lot of stories,
too many stories.
Okay. So. But one of the things we did this year, I've been going for 20 years. And just to let you know that this retired nurse comes to me, you know, I always thought it'd be great to go to a mission trip. I know that God tells us in his word that we are to be missionaries. And that's not just we should be, it's our command. That we need to share the gospel. We need not to be ashamed of the gospel. And God prepared me through all that process, because when I started my practice, I kind of squeezed in some religion by instrumentals, you know, Christian instrumentals. And then pretty soon God said, wait a minute, you need to have the words, you know. And then it got to a point where, you know, it just, you know, God prepares you, okay? And I think God has prepared all of you to participate in that if you just choose to do so. But typically when I go, coming back to what I was going to say, typically when I go, I'm so enthralled with the need that these people have. I mean, I have people with huge abscesses, and I had one person come, this was a few years ago, and said, they came to me and they said, this is a man that we've seen 3 years in a row and he's never made the cut. And I said, what do you mean he's never made the cut? Well, we only limit, you know, we have to cut it off. And my heart just sinks because, you know, I says, wait, you know, okay. So, but I said, okay, we're all going to go break for lunch. Tell them, you sneak him in the back door. And I went ahead and took care of him, sent him on his way, and I says, just don't let anyone know you did this because they're probably going to give you a hard time, all right? So when we finally broke away from the original group, one of the things that I said is let's not cut anybody off. At least let's share the gospel with them. That's why we're here. And I was talking to Dr. Gruppiger a minute ago, and he says, well, I thought it was just one person, one dentist. But when we have to cut people off every year, that's horrible. Because God brought them there, and then we don't serve them. So what we do is we at least share the gospel and say, okay, if doctor has time, he'll do it. Let me tell you, I always have time, no matter what, okay? But anyways, I did have an opportunity to go to, we went out into the park, okay? And I'm going with one of the translators, and of course, they're speaking, you know? And I'm just sitting there because what I do, and he'll say, this is the dentist, he's going to help you with any of your dental needs and, you know, all of that, but that was about all. Well, then I saw these four men sitting around, and they wouldn't be the people that you would walk up to and say, oh, yeah, let's, okay, they were hard, you know, tattoos, you know, big. So all of a sudden, we walk up there and with the translator, and he says, I speak English. Well, I took advantage of that. And we started talking, and I just got right in his face and talking about, and God just brought everything that he said back to me. I knew what to say back, and God just empowered me. So then we got to the end, and I kept saying, he said, I just don't know if I'm going to get saved. I don't know, you know, because I've, you know, my parents are voting or praying for me and so forth. So I says, do you want to pray right now? Yes. So we prayed together, and he got saved. So that was really cool. So then when I showed up at Puchawasa, and all of a sudden this woman comes running to me, and it says, Mom, it says, my son got saved, you know, and you're, you know. So that was pretty cool to do that, because I remember one time I was, do you know, after 20 years, I need to pause for a second. There's so many stories, but why do I always come back? It's because God calls us to reach out to people. The other thing that these mission trips did for me was to be bold. And my dental practice is different than most dental practices. I have Christian music playing all the time. I talk to someone about the Lord every single day. God gives me that opportunity. And when you say, Lord, bring someone to me today, and most every day, God will bring someone. And you just have to take advantage of that. Okay, bye.
Yeah. God gives him opportunities. So you're laying back like this. You got your mouth full of this all. And he can talk about anything he wants to, right? That is when the first time I ever met this guy, I was laying in his chair. He had just come back from Romania. And something, by the end of that visit, I just knew that someday I was going to be going with him to Romania. And that's...
Well, that's the thing. You get excited about it, and you use that as a tool. You know, just like the music is a tool, and you'll say, do you like the music? And then you start sharing the gospel. But we talk so much about, they'll ask me about the mission trip. Well, we always talk about the plan of salvation in that. I always do. Because people have to know. And I talk about the Greek Orthodox Church, and they say, well, you have to pay for your prayers. You have to pay $5 or 5 lei a prayer. Okay, you go to the priest and you hand him a piece of paper. You don't have to say anything to him. You just hand him a piece of paper, and he counts the number, and he raises his hand out. You better, if there's 4 names, you better give him 20 lei. And I was sitting there one day, and the translator just got all irritated, and I said, what happened? She says, this lady apparently put 5 names down on the 5 names down, and he handed her 20. So he was, you know, I want more. He says, that's all I have. Which of these do you want to go to hell? Wow. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, grip that they have on people. And we talked about the priest saying, standing outside, telling people not to come. If you come, we're going to throw you out of the church. You're going to lose your job because the person you work for is someone in good standing. You're going to lose your job. We're going to tell your grandparents or your grandkids that you're going to hell and, you know, all of that. I mean, it's just like, what is that called? Extortion? Whatever. But anyways, so there's a lot of really amazing stories. And I'm so glad that John, you know, came with me and everyone else. And it's been a life-changing experience. It just gives you the answers to prayer that you just kind of, you know, builds your faith and everything else.
Right.
I recommend this to anyone.
And
you may say that you don't have any money. Well, the night lady called me, and then we'll be here forever, but okay. But when that lady came to me, I had just bought a dental practice, just moved to a dental practice. I did not have the money. I was not seeing a profit enough to go, right? And I said, Lord, if you want me to go, then somehow you need to do that. So the first installment, I had a little bit of profit that month, and I took all that profit for me to go. And the next month, again. And that answer to prayer, I knew that this is what God wanted to have happen. So anyone that says they don't have, you know, I don't have the money and all that, all those excuses, it's just a matter of saying yes. And it doesn't matter if you go to Romania, you can go to...
Yeah, down to the Douglas Community Center.
Right. Okay, that's where it all starts. Mm-hmm. And the food bank, whatever it is, you know, just participate. And
right.
You see that the... difference.
Which is a perfect segue into my last point. So the mission continues. The thing that really, really, really blew me away is when I came back, and even before I left, how many conversations I had with my friends. So they're like, you're doing what? Going to Romania on a medical mission trip. Well, you're not medical. Well, I know, there's that, but... And then everybody wants to know, when we came back, everybody wants to know. We got all these people out at the Sherman Lake Y. They all come right, well, tell me about it. What, you know? So you have these conversations, and it doesn't have to be Romania or Haiti. It can be the Douglas Community Center. It can be the Kentucky mission trip we do every spring. It can be just being in the, working in hands of God over there. So when you tell people, what'd you do on Sunday? Oh, I went to church. The interest meter's like... But when you tell them, I went down to the Douglas Community Center today and did this distribution, people want to hear about that. It's like, you what? Why would you do that? And then when you go to Romania, it's like off the chart. So that's what I had. Todd, you have 2 minutes.
You really left me with nothing.
I know.
You knew that was going to happen.
So praise Tim, I'm going to take your last couple minutes for a song. I'm just going to share a couple things, and you'll probably hear stories for the next, I don't know, how many sermon illustrations. I didn't prepare anything because I knew I wanted to hear what was said, and I'm just going to say this. I didn't know initially kind of why. You know, John last year said, Todd, you got to go. And I'm like, I've heard that before. I've been on all these different mission trips. And like Ren just said, I was like, okay, Lord, if you want me to go, show the money. And you guys stepped up within a week. So if you supported this trip in any way, shape, or form, I just want to thank you for that. And put a plug in, because already we're praying about bringing Beth next year, so we'll see if God has that for us. But Beth told me I was going to get kicked out of Romania, because this is the first trip that within probably 20 years I haven't led. And I really kind of enjoyed that, because I got to step back from the drama, and there was a few times I saw meetings and different things, and I could just step back, and I was a rookie, and so I didn't have to deal with any of that stuff, which I enjoyed. And, you know, the days were long, but I will take Romania over roughing 8-9 hours in Kentucky all day long. This is mission trip light. I've never been, of 50-something trips, I've never been in a hotel and meals like that. And I would actually sit up and talk. I got locked out of the hotel once because I would be FaceTiming Beth and the whole team. They'd be exhausted and I'd still be wired. And so I came and they'd locked me out of the hotel. Thankfully, the little lady was all apologetic that they had locked the American out of the hotel. But as I did two quick things and we'll let you go. Number one, the body of Christ always takes my breath away. And whenever you go, and I'm one of those individuals that you can't relate to because people are like, oh, why are you going around? God told me to. I don't need to know what I'm doing. I don't need to know why. I don't need to know why I'm sleeping, where I'm sleeping. And I know that's because I'm twisted and I grew up going on these trips and you guys all want your details all put together. So talk to John and Jan and Jamie about those things. God tells you to go, just jump in and trust that fact. And for me, I have Romanian brothers and sisters, and to be able to sit and talk, and the beauty of the body of Christ never gets old to me. And the way they say, you are such an encouragement and all those things. And so God uses you in ways that you can't even imagine. But the second thing, for me, and John said it, that John 14:6, that was part of every spiel I did, because, you know, you'd have these people that are Orthodox, and so I'd be like, okay, so are you here to see the doctor or the nurse? Because they go to the priest or they go to the saints. That's their beginning point. And so they're like, oh, I want to see the doctor. I'm like, okay, so you want to go to the top and get the medical care you want. I'm like, okay, then why would you stop at the priest or a saint when Jesus Christ makes himself available to you? And so I'd use that John 14:6, all right? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And you'd have those discussions. And it was just making their wheels turn. But that verse isn't just for them, it's for us as well. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Again, none of you would say Jesus is a liar. So if Jesus is the truth, Jesus is the life, then what he offers us as we step up and obey are amazing things. Everybody that goes on a trip will tell you they're more blessed than they were a blessing. That is true for absolutely every person. Again, I think we spread the seeds of the gospel. I had a few people that were willing to say the prayer with me. You don't know, to what extent, but I'm going to trust that fact. There was one young lady at one, and your pastor's not very charismatic, but I felt like God was telling me to pray for her for healing. And I'm hoping I continue to pray for her today that was not in my wheelhouse, but I'm going to trust that God had me to do that for some reason. God has truth and life for you as well. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I think we need to live that daily. And as they said, we have opportunities every day to simply embrace what Christ has called us to. You were part of this. You prayed for us. Many of you supported the cause. And someday when you go to heaven, you might have some Romanian come up to you and thank you for the small part you played in this. And this is the perspective we need to walk through life with. Again, it's we talked about it at the team. It's a pebble in the pond, right? We have no idea when we toss that in obedience where the ripples will go. And if God doesn't come back for generations, I truly believe the small things that we did will affect generations in Romania. And you have that power. Each and every one of you have that power to just simply obey and to share and trust that God will do that. And so be the link in somebody's chain. Live in obedience. And so I'm going to pray and I'm going to cut you loose and we'll go from there. Father God, we thank you just for an opportunity to share. We thank you for the ways that you have moved in us and through us, Lord. And keep fanning that flame. We want to be a church that's about you. We want to be a church that's sharing the truth of who you are and loving people for the sake of the kingdom. And we just ask that you would continue to stir our hearts towards you, whether it's the hands of God, whether it's distributions, Kentucky, wherever. Lord, when you call, give us the bravery and the wherewithal to step up and say yes and trust that not only will you work in us, but you'll work through us. And we ask this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.